If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We're going to jump right into what would seem maybe like a little more than usual amount of scripture this morning, but I believe it's necessary that we take the time to hear the scripture before we jump right into my sermon today. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After suffering his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own native language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. Phrygia," I have no idea, "Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages or tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" Now, I want you to notice, we're going to read one more scripture, but I want you to notice that there is a definite before the Holy Spirit infilled the believers, and there's a definite after the Holy Spirit filled the believers. You will see the believers having characteristics of such before and different characteristics after. Now, the next scripture we're going to read is after the Holy Spirit came. Now, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Today we finish our series called The Crossing. It's the story not only of God getting his people out of Egypt, but God getting Egypt out of his people. By the way, why did the chicken cross the road? Because he was free. Perhaps you can relate to the story that we've talked about for the last few weeks. God's people held in captivity in Egypt for 430 years seemed like an eternity, generation after generation. But God brought them freedom. But then they were faced with several crossings. They had to come out of Egypt. They had to leave the land that they were used to living in behind. They came to the Red Sea, thought there was nothing that was going to happen then except they were going to get creamed. But Moses raised a staff, and the Red Sea parted, and the people walked through on dry land, and the Egyptians followed, and the sea folded in on them. But they had to choose to cross. There was Kadesh Barnea. Just 2 years after they left Egypt, they were at the border of Canaan land. And they were faced with whether or not they would cross and face the giants, the intimidating circumstances, the insurmountable problems, humanly speaking, or go back to the land of Egypt, the land of slavery. We know from retrospect, they went back. Not all the way to Egypt. They rather stayed in a wandering circle, just kind of cycle. Last week we talked about breaking the cycle. God said, you've circled this mountain enough. Now turn north and break the cycle that you're in. We talked about breaking the cycle last week. Deciding to exercise our initiative and move on what God has already promised us. To move into and cross into the land of spiritual maturity, Canaan land, which is not the land of free, easy living. It's the land of hard work and sacrifice. But that's where the blessing is. Amen. Perhaps your crossing has been, you could relate in some way to that in your own life. Maybe the crossing that's happening in your life, you are tempted to look back and think, you know, things, at least I knew where this was going to come from there. At least I knew what to expect. But out here, I feel vulnerable. Out here, I feel at risk. Welcome to the promised land. Amen. Today for us, there are personal crossings that are unique to us. In matters related to career, perhaps finances, perhaps relationships. And by the way, Jeanette and I are loving. I want to encourage you to join us in prayer every morning. Lord, open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing on us that we cannot contain it. Pray that prayer. And there are some general crossings in our lives, specific and general, that are applicable to everyone who's lived in the millenniums of time. There's crossings that apply to each of us. There's the day that you realized for the first time that God loves you. How old were you when you made that crossing? When you realized that God has loved you. You. He's created you. It's a moment of realization, and it's a moment of, will I act on it or will I ignore it? I've realized as a child, I lived in prevenient grace. I lived with the covering of God's grace until an age when that moment happened of realization, and along with it, accountability and responsibility. There's the age or the grace of prevenient grace. There's saving grace when I realize that not only does He love me, but He wants to save me from my sins. He wants me to live with Him forever in heaven. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior at a very young age. It was a crossing for me. I'll never forget the conviction in my heart. It felt like my heart was in my throat. I could feel my heartbeat. And I just knew that it was time for me to accept the forgiveness that Jesus made possible for me by His blood. I went on and grew in my faith, but there were a lot of areas for me, and I think this is generally true for everyone, a lot of areas in my life that I realized I was willing to give God my sins, but I wasn't really ready to give Him my life. You could take everything I didn't want, God. Thank you very much. But there's still some things that I'm kind of partial to, that I'm kind of wanting to hold on to. And it wasn't until later in my life that I experienced another crossing. A time when I got weary of the struggle and weary of the battle and weary of the fight, resisting God, and I finally laid it all down. It was an experience called sanctification. A time when I gave everything to God. Our scripture this morning is all about Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Harvest. It's a Jewish festival. It was on this day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on 120 followers of Christ who were gathered in Jerusalem. It was on this day the church was born in a blaze of glory, born in power, born in fire. The coming of the Holy Spirit into your life and to mine. It's clearly one of the greatest crossings that you will ever experience. For some, however, let's be honest, any sermon on the Holy Spirit is grounds for anxiety. What does it mean to be filled with God Himself? What does it mean to be filled with His Spirit, with His power, with His presence? The idea of God filling a person may make some uncomfortable. For others, they may hear of miracles, may hear of the anointings and signs and wonders and question, is that kind of things going to happen in our time, or was it for that time and culture, or is it for today as well? And some of us wonder, how does it apply to me? Is there something I'm missing? I have great news for you this morning. On the authority of God's Word, the filling of your life by the Holy Spirit is for all of us. Amen? Every single one of us here in this world. There's no greater joy than being filled with the Spirit, present and active in your life. He's your counselor. He's your guide. He's the one, maybe when you wake up in the morning, you think, Lord, I may not know specifically what You want me to do at this moment, but I'll know as the day unfolds what You'll have for me to do, because I'm going to walk in faith and obedience that You are with me, counseling me at every step. And when I'm still unsure, I'm going to have faith that even in my uncertainty, You are guiding me. Amen? I don't know. It seems to me that the average Christian, the average church, is bogged down somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. They've been to Calvary for pardon, for forgiveness, for salvation, but have not been to Pentecost for sanctification and power. But we have the Holy Spirit who resides in us, within our very being. You see, it could maybe be said this way, Bethlehem means God with us. Calvary means God for us. But Pentecost means God in us. the great evangelist D.L. Moody said, you might as well try to hear without ears or breathe without lungs as to try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. Let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 2. This is the Apostle Paul asking the Ephesian believers, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. And I think that's kind of maybe, I was talking to Raymond here this morning, I said, we're going to learn about the Holy Spirit today. And I got to thinking about how many times I've preached on the Holy Spirit. Not a lot. And I wonder if it's true that in the American church today, we haven't, maybe we're kind of like the Ephesian believers who haven't heard about the Holy Spirit like we should. I think sometimes we misunderstand the role of the Spirit, or at the very least, have not appropriated the power that He wants to put in our lives. I think we need that love. I know we do. I don't know if He'll come like a mighty rushing wind in your life and bless you with the ability to speak cross-culturally by giving you the ability to learn foreign languages. I don't know if He'll just do that in a moment, or I do know that when, I'm going to share a little bit of my own personal testimony, when the Spirit came in His fullness into my own life, in a few moments. Let me read a backwards passage to you this morning. I'm going to give it to you up on the screen. We read it earlier about, it was a scripture, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. We're going to put that up on the screen, but I'm going to read to you what it looks like for a Christian to not be living in the Spirit. Here's what it could look like. The Christians were devoted to themselves and occasionally go to church when they had time. No one was filled with awe because there were no signs and wonders performed by the believers. Very few of the believers were together, and they had almost nothing in common because they had no real time for each other. If they sold something, they used the money to buy something better for themselves. They ate on the run, kept to themselves, and were too rushed to enjoy one another or give God praise. They claimed to love. They claimed to love God, but they didn't really love each other, and they felt very empty and alone. And as a result, most people disliked them, and very few people were getting saved. I really appreciate what Dr. Vance Havner said a long time ago. He said, the average one of us is so afraid of getting out on a limb that we never even bother to climb the tree. So today I want to speak to you about the crossing of receiving the Holy Spirit in His fullness in your life. It's the new Exodus. It's the Exodus that you and I must cross. It's not just about the Israelites that lived a long time ago. It's about your life and mine. It's about coming out of a mindset and situation of bondage and slavery and coming into a mindset and reality of freedom. Why did the chicken cross the road? Because he was free. It's a reality. Every one of us who have asked Jesus to cleanse us of our sins and make us a child of God, you have every bit of the Holy Spirit in you that you will ever have. Now, here's the thing. You may have all of God, but God may not have all of you. Yet. And that's where I was. And that was the conflict. That was the disturbing dilemma. That was the constant resistance that I lived with. when it came to whether or not I agreed with God for his plans for me today or I disagreed with him. Well, we live in a wonderful generation. I know we here in America wonder sometimes about the dry ground. And by the way, I think this is a great crowd here this morning. We could certainly have more, but to know that there's so much going on around us with the Petunia Festival and everything, thank you for being here. I know today, sometimes in America, we think about, man, the ground is hard. It's dry. But talk to a missionary who's sharing the Word of God in other countries, and they will talk to you about how God is moving and stirring and bringing people to salvation. But also talk to a Spirit-filled believer, and you'll find that no matter how bad situations may be on the outside, they're still filled with optimism and hope and love. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." That is really encouraging to me. It means that the Holy Spirit's presence in his fullness is for everybody. It's for Jeanette and I. It's for our kids. It's for our grandkids. It's for everyone who will receive his Spirit. The outpouring of the Spirit is not a special blessing for a special few in a special age. It's for all of us, all who have repented and believe in the gospel. What a precious gift. What an amazing promise. So the real question is not whether or not a Christian has the Spirit. The real question is, does the Spirit of God have all of you and all of me? Are there any resistance? Are there any strongholds? Are there any barriers? Are there any locked rooms? Are there any areas that I have not given to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? You see, when someone receives salvation, they are placed into the body of Christ. Everyone who's been saved receives the Holy Spirit, yet many that receive salvation and have received the Holy Spirit have not yet been filled to the fullness because, well, there's still stuff that we're keeping in our lives that we have to remove and give to him before he can indwell every area of our life. It may be finances for you. It may be your emotional life. It may be your relational life. It may be a dozen other areas. The idea here is that God wants to live in his fullness in every area of your life. Amen? That's what we believe. That's why we're here. That's why God has called us into existence. Let's look at John chapter 20, verse 22. After Jesus' resurrection, he was with the disciples and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." My mind races back to the creation story when God took a little bit of dirt, the dust of the ground, and he formed Adam. And Adam was still just dust until God breathed his life. And Adam became a living soul. Jesus breathed on his disciples and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If that's not a symbol of new life, I don't know what is. Amen. And when he did, what happened? That's right, they received the Holy Spirit. Yet something else, something even more was getting ready to transpire. He told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and stay and wait until. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit, yet they were directed, they were commanded to go to the upper room and wait for him to come in his power. He would be imparting power to those believers who waited. I want to recall a spiritual discipline with you this morning. The spiritual discipline of meditating and prayer and waiting on the Spirit. Don't we live so fast these days? Jesus is calling his disciples to wait and let the anticipation build and let the examination of the soul happen so that the Spirit can do the deep work that needs to happen. I worry about where we're going as a culture. I wonder how healthy it really is for us to have constant stimulation without meditation and contemplation on what is really going on in the deepest part. You see, whenever in our culture, whenever we start to think about the hard stuff, sometimes we self-medicate by more stimulation. And God says, that's not where I work. I work in the quietness of you meditating and prayerfully asking me to fill your heart with my fullness. I love this. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, if then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. You may have been a Christian for a long time and may have received the Holy Spirit in His fullness, but have you asked the Spirit to fill you today? I know in my life it's a reality. There was a crisis moment of decision when I asked the Lord to fill me with His fullness, but it's a daily thing too. D.L. Moody was once asked why he urged Christians to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. He said, well, I need a continual filling because I leak. We all leak. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with everything that you are, all that you are this morning, right here, right now. Lots of great things happened in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 19. The apostles were going out, laying their hands on people, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Wow! Whole households were coming to faith. Jesus said, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You know what I have found the most tiring, fruitless way to live? And believe me, I've tried it 100 million times. It's trying to live with a divided heart. Trying to maintain my agenda while serving God's. And it's exhausting. As in all the crossings we've talked about, this crossing represents you being willing to leave the old behind and cross over into the land of spiritual maturity. It is a place where you move from passive to active and exercise bold initiative and receive the Holy Spirit in His fullness by responding to God and His invitation to receive His love, joy, peace, and power in your life. Over the next 3 weeks, we'll be sharing about the Old Testament roots of sanctification. Doug Kindle will be preaching next Sunday on that. I'll be preaching then on the New Testament roots of sanctification the next Sunday. And then Sean Ports will be preaching on sanctification for contemporary living on, I believe it's the 22nd. For now, I want to invite you to wait. Now, you may be ready to receive the fullness of the Spirit. You may be ready to make room in your life right now, take out everything that shouldn't be there or would compete for the Lordship of Christ and set it aside and let Him fill you with everything that He is. You may be ready to do that. I know for me, it was a big decision. And I think that's why God had them go up to the upper room and wait for a while. So I want to invite you, if you're ready today to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, awesome. And if you've got questions, He'll answer them in His own time. You've got the faith to do that this morning? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Well, what I'm saying is this is a big crossing. This is your exodus out of the land of slavery, out of the land of bondage, and into the land of freedom and spiritual maturity. This is your exodus. Worship team, would you come? Let's bow our heads in prayer as we respond to the Spirit's conviction this morning. Would you stand with me as we pray? Lord, thank You for the ministry of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for the reality of the Holy Spirit. We believe, Lord, today. We believe Your word. We believe in what is happening inside of us as we experience conviction, perhaps, and for certain experience hope this morning, knowing that You are living and breathing and asking us to just make a place for You in Your fullness in our lives. Open the windows of heaven, Lord, and pour out such a blessing that we cannot contain it. We know, Lord, that that involves our willingness to make room for You, to pour the blessing in. So yes, Lord, pour in the blessing. Help us over the next weeks to think and pray and ask You, Lord, to do Your work, accomplish Your will in us. May you, Lord, identify any strongholds in our lives that may be preventing you to work in your power and fullness in and through us. And Lord, may there be no competing agenda in regards to who's going to be in charge, who's going to be Lord, who's going to be president of my life. Lord Jesus, be Lord. Walk us through this wilderness. Walk us through this time of contemplation and conviction, and bring us to the border. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure, carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation, your Spirit alive in me, this life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you. So I stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I stand, my soul unto you surrendered, all I am is yours. So I stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I stand, my soul unto you surrendered, all I am is yours. All I am is yours. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you.
Amen. That's all right.